From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Going to join together in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence this evening with reverence. We come with humility in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the access that we have through the finished work of the Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the occasion we're met here today to meet around thy precious word, to hear thy voice speaking to us. We thank you, we serve a living God. Thank thee, Lord, we have a living word. And we pray today, Lord, that thou wilt meet with thy people. We pray, Lord, you will encourage God's people. Speak to the lost, we pray. Save, Lord, those listening who do not know Christ as their Savior. And we ask thee, Lord, that through this program, that many precious souls will find the Savior. Lord, undertake for a preacher today. Fill him with thy spirit and bless us as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read God's word today from Luke chapter 13 and commencing to read at verse number 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And we know God will bless the reading of his precious word. We're going to sing that hymn, Sinners Jesus Will Receive, sound this word of grace to all.
With you this evening, we trust that God will bless as we come to look into the Word of God. I want to draw your attention to those opening words of the reading that was done earlier, but before that, let's join together in prayer and let us seek the Lord that we'll know God's help in the preaching and meditating upon the Word of God. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for he who receives sinful men. And we pray that as we examine his words and look into them here today, that we will know help, thy guidance and thy power as the Word of God is spoken about now. Help us, we pray. We ask all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. I want to read with you again those words in verse 22 of Luke chapter 13. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, and listen carefully to the question this man asks, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are found there in verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, are not mysterious words. They're not a riddle, as some might imagine. They were an answer to the question which the man in the crowd that day asked of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was making his way through cities and villages, this individual, at some point in that trek toward Jerusalem, asked the Lord Jesus Christ this question. Lord, in verse 23, are there few that be saved? You will note that it is a deeply spiritual question. The man is not asking about some form of physical rescue or physical salvation. He's not thinking, for instance, of someone drowning and wondering if so many were drowning, how many would be saved. No, as you examine the whole passage, you'll see that it's a spiritual matter that he is asking about, because in verse 29, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about those who will sit down in the kingdom of God. He speaks also of how there were those who would be thrust out of the kingdom of God there in verse 28 as well. So this is a spiritual question that the man had asked. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a spiritual response. Can I ask today, have you ever asked a spiritual question in relation to your soul and its eternal welfare? Could it be that your contact with religion, with church, is merely about physical acquaintance that you might have with other people? What you may benefit physically from a church body? And you've never really asked the question concerning your soul and its eternal welfare. It is clear the Lord Jesus Christ here in this passage and in his teaching is telling us there is a great danger that the soul faces. That of being locked out of heaven in a place which is described here in this very passage later on, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That place we know is called the place hell. There is a serious issue here involved concerning the soul. Have you ever asked the question about your soul and its eternal welfare and wondered, is my soul saved? Is it ready for heaven? This man asked this question of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that, he did well. After all, who is Jesus Christ? Let's go back to the very beginning, as it were, in the life of Christ. And as we hear his name, what is his title? He is Jesus. Why? He shall save There's that word again. His people from their sins. And so when we want to know about salvation, and when we have a question about salvation, it is good to go to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the author of this saving work. Of course, the Lord does not always answer every question the way we would like it answered. This man was interested to know how few there would be saved, or would there be few that would be saved. But the Lord Jesus, if you notice the answer that the Saviour gave him here in verse 24, turns the whole subject towards this man, and he says to him, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And so as we come now, we are ready to examine this statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what Christ is doing here is saying to this man, you need to understand something about your soul. You should not be so interested in everybody else, but rather you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. And thus he describes here the way to heaven. The answer of the Lord Jesus Christ here is in stark contrast to how many believe a soul will actually get into heaven. Some see death as a kind of harvest. That is, when death comes, all are harvested into the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter really who you are. At the end of the day, you will be harvested upon death and you will be gathered into heaven. The path to heaven, however, is not some kind of broad way that gathers in all. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly here in this passage is teaching there will be those who will not be in heaven. He says again in verse 24, I say unto you, there were those, and they will not be able to enter in. So we have to understand something about this gate that the Lord Jesus Christ here is describing. He says in verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You'll notice it's singular. It's not many ways. Therefore, right away, we can say all religions do not lead to God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to heaven but through knowing Jesus Christ. Remember, he is the one who saves from sin. And of course, when we think of this statement here, it's very specific, isn't it? It's saying there is a straight gate. The Lord Jesus Christ here is identifying the way to heaven. I think of the words of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus Christ, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So it's not the case that we say, well, we can't really know the way. I remember in the city of Plymouth, going around doors, trying to give out gospel tracts, coming away from a door. I remember a man whom I had given a gospel tract to, coming out, speaking to his neighbour, and he said, no one really knows, as if we can't identify. Well, the Bible identifies the way. It identifies the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way to know God. The scriptures remind us there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, the Savior. He is the way to know God. You'll notice that it is described as a straight gate. The idea of the straight gate has this thought in it, that it is narrow, it is restrictive. Now, it does not mean here that necessarily there will only be a few saved. That's not why the gate to heaven is described as narrow. The reason it is described as narrow is because those who will enter into heaven must do so God's way. The Bible teaches the truth of repentance from sin. For instance, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, and if we read verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter into the kingdom of God." What the Bible is teaching us is that we cannot enter into heaven with our sins. There must be repentance, a turning away from them, and a seeking of the face of God, that we might be cleansed from our sins and pardoned and washed. And then let me remind you also here that this text is telling us there must be earnestness. It says strive to enter in at the straight gate. These are the days of indifference, the shrugging of the shoulders. What have I need of this? But the Lord Jesus Christ says you need to be decisive about this matter. This is something you must deliberate over. You must study. You must look at this, examine it, and realize I need to be saved. I think of those in Berea who are mentioned in the book of Acts. And it says of them, they were more noble than Jews who were in Thessalonica. Why were they more noble? Because they searched the scriptures, the Bible says, daily to see whether the things that Paul spoke about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ were true or not. They searched the scriptures, diligently searched them. How few take time with the Word of God, could we ask you today? Do you study the scriptures? Do you attend the place where you'll hear the faithful teaching of the Word of God? Do you concern yourself with the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus says here, strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. I wonder, will you think carefully over what the scriptures here are saying? Will you think carefully of what Christ here is saying in this text? He says, strive. And of course, that means that we have to examine even the whole passage, because there are dangers. As we think of the great need of the heart, in the beginning of this chapter, in verses 1 through to 5, the Lord Jesus Christ said that there were those who thought that the Galileans who had been slain by Pilate were great sinners. But he says, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, there's a danger of thinking, I'm okay. I'm not such a bad person. The Word of God, however, tells us that we're all sinners. We need this sin matter dealt with. We need to be right with God. We need to know that our sins are pardoned and forgiven. And that is only through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are all sinners. We're not to think, I am all right. I am not so bad. We're to realize that because all have sinned, all need to repent. There needs therefore to be a thinking over this matter, a realization. I need Christ. I need to be saved. I need to be right with God. If you look at the 13th chapter, you will see in verse 15, there were those who actually had a religion. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? The Lord Jesus was answering a question in relation to a matter concerning religion. And this person thought he was more righteous and falsely interpreted Scripture. There are those that take the Scripture and they wrest it out of its context. They think it means something entirely different. The Lord Jesus Christ here in this matter is reminding us about sin. He's reminding us that it needs to be dealt with. And he's reminding us there needs to be a striving over this issue. A serious striving. Again, down in the passage, in verse 34, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says concerning Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, stonest them that are sent unto thee. Here are those opposed to the teaching of Scripture. So much so that they kill the very prophets. Well, they're included here in the sense, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And at the end of the verse, the Lord says, How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood, under her wings, and ye would not. It is the plea of the Lord Jesus Christ that these would get right with him. There needs to be a striving, a taking seriously of the word of God. I wonder, will you take seriously the warnings of Scripture? There is a heaven, there is a hell. To be saved, you need to be right with God, cleansed from sin, know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. This evening, will you come to Jesus Christ? Will you come to know him as your Lord and as your Savior? I trust that you will cry to the Lord, call out to him for pardon. He will save all that come to him. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its teaching. We thank thee for the words of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that here this day thou wilt come and minister to hearts and souls. And we pray, Lord, there will be that striving to enter in at the strait gate, to realize the need to repent of sin and come to Jesus Christ. Take your word, write it upon each heart, and bless it to each soul. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.